something I believe should be a recommendation. The chief of police shall live in, within an established permanent residency within the city of Pensacola.
So the Citizens Police Advisory Committee last night talking about a bunch of things that they would like to see done. That's Drew Buchanan. He's serving as the chairman of the committee right now, saying that, you know, this question of the new police chief needing to live within the city limits, it's an interesting question. I'm not 100% sold on that, just because I think you can love a community and serve a community and not necessarily live within that community's limits. I mean, you know, I serve Santa Rosa County, but I live in Pensacola. I don't even live in the city of Pensacola, but I obviously serve the city of Pensacola and Santa Rosa and Gulf Breeze. So I'm not convinced that you have to have that, but it's an interesting question. Mayor Robinson joins us now on the phone, 437-1620. If you got questions, you can text them to me. Mayor Robinson, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning. Good morning. I've been enjoying your family task on your week off. So I can tell you, I've been right there as well, trying to get everything out of a home and sell, hopefully closing next month. A lot of stuff as well.
Hey, that's great here. And by the way, I just joined you in the 50 Club, so we're both 50. Which, by the way, I don't think I'm saying 50 right now. I think when people ask me my age, I'm going to say 40-10. What do you think?
I think that sounds good. I had no idea our birthdays were so close together.
Oh, yeah,
I missed you last week on my birthday.
I know, very, very close. So let's talk a little bit about some of the things that do you think there's a need for the new police chief to actually live in the city limits? I mean, I'm not against it. Just, you know, my curiosity is what might be sacrificed in the interest of the best candidate who might have a valued reason to live outside the city.
You know, I don't know on that. The question, I think, comes down to, it's hard to say it's the police chief and it's not the sanitation, you know, director. And you know, how you draw the line on those parts as you're working through. I mean, listen, I love Keith. Keith lived a long time in the city. He doesn't live in the city right now. It's hard for Keith to make his direct reports live in the city when he doesn't even live in the city. So, and I don't think it makes Keith a better person because he lives just across Bayou Chico in Warrington than you know what happened. So it's a tough situation. We would love for people to do that, but what I continue to get to people is, you know, Keith would say, hey, I can't live on the water in the city of Pensacola. I can move to Warrington and live on the water, but the prices for me to live on the water in the city of Pensacola are pretty expensive.
Yeah, no, that's a very fair point. And as you say, always the best person, and then, you know, where do you draw the line once you do establish that for some people and not for others? I wanted to ask you just briefly about the gun buyback program. According to the city agenda for their city council agenda for next week, we've got some of the details. I guess Councilmember Delarian Wiggins is going to try to do it on the 20th at Bill Gregory Park. They have upped the proposal increases the price being paid: $125 for a revolver, $150 for a semi-automatic handgun, and $200 for a semi-automatic rifle. That would theoretically mean fewer weapons can be purchased, though, with that $10,000 cap, right?
In theory, yes. Let's see what happens, and we'll go from there. Obviously, if we get those high-dollar guns, and I guess those discussions that Delarian came back from values that he must have had talking with the police and what they thought was realistic that would get them off the street. So if those are issues that we end up getting, those are the kind of guns we want to get. Those are definitely different than the broken guns that everybody says we're going to get. So,
right.
I don't know. I mean, like I said before, we talked a little bit last night at the Citizens Police Advisory Council. A lot of this is about building trust. And if West Pensacola, that has been under siege, says, hey, this is something we think that could work for our neighborhood, and it would build trust if you do it, and Delarian says, this is what I need to do to help build trust in my community, then I think $10,000 is worth the investment in establishing trust in that community.
And I'm opposed to the program in general, but I appreciate the argument that, look, if some parents find a gun underneath their teenager's bed and turn it in for $125 or $150, and that would have been used in a crime or, God forbid, a suicide, and somebody's life winds up getting saved, $10,000 is a small price to pay, you know, in theory, for that kind of a thing. So, hey, I wanted to ask you one of the other things. You guys are halfway through it now. First reading passed the new tree ordinance. I think this is really good. This is a significant improvement in the specificity of which trees are protected. It seems to me to make it very tailored to the kind of tree. Like 34 inches for a pine would have been crazy, right?
Well, there are some out there. I mean, those are certainly going to be, getting toward champion-sized trees. So
you know, there is some protection. The only real pine we protect is the longleaf. It's certainly endangered. It was the predominant species here. You know, there were a lot of things I've been supporting on going after and doing those specific things. There are other things that I'm not as convinced. I'm like you with some things. I love trees. I planted them all over the place. They are, every now and then things change in your life. Stuff has to move. You can change something. But we ought to always be replanting trees. That's the other part right. We're focused on is how do you replant trees? If you really want trees for tomorrow, you've got to plant them now. And I tell everybody, go in front of Pensacola High School and you look at that huge oak tree. And I can tell you when that huge oak tree was planted because my parents donated it and planted it out there. It's a great tree. It's not as old as you think it is. It's only about 30 years old. But again, you know, that just goes to show what planting a tree can do and can create for your community.
What is the process? Somebody texted me and asked me this question, and I didn't know the exact answer, so I figured I'd ask you. What is the process if this gets passed and somebody's got a tree on their lot that is a protected tree? What would they do in order to cut that down?
There's going to be an arborist. There's certainly things that can happen. I mean, we are seeing and we are seeing a variety of people I know have been getting their notices from their insurance company that they've got to do something because of what they're experiencing. So those kind of things will be able to go through an arborist if they need to trim it back or whatever else. We get that. We're not going to make anybody go without insurance. If the tree is the reason it's there is if the tree has had some type of toppling effect on the because of the storm. I mean, those are things that are in there. But what we are wanting to do is protect those trees, that there is no impact to you, but it is a benefit to the neighborhood and the community. And certainly that's why that's moving forward. Now, we are not going to go hire our own arborist, but we are going to be in a contract with the county arborist to serve as our arborist, and they'll be at least able to investigate, give some kind of report back, and then we go from there.
So, Mr. Mayor, the current hospitalizations due to COVID-19 in our area keep dropping. We're now down to 120. That's not good, but we're approaching that 100 threshold. You're going to consider the mask ordinance and all that next time in the city council. When will you stop asking? What's your threshold for stopping asking to have a mask ordinance?
Andrew, my threshold is the same as it's been. Gets down to 50, we should be dropping at that point and then reinstitute. And if it goes above 75, we should have a plan and we should do. I've been saying this a year ago. This is what our experience is going to be. We'll have times where it'll be high acuity and then we'll have times when there's not. We need to get used to wearing masks. And when we ask you to wear a mask, that you wear it. And that we shouldn't wear people out with wearing it when we don't have the prevalent, when it's not so prevalent. So, I mean, that was my position in September. It'll be my position now. We will have the same kind of experiences, what we do, and we need people to realize and have faith in doing what we need to do and show them what to do so that they will do it quickly when we ask them to do it rather than getting tired of it and then having to deal with this long-term we did in this winter run-up. It's been ridiculous. If we could have had some better support in doing this and better understanding, I think we'd have been better off. But right now, we're above that number, even at 120. So we got to keep pushing it down. But we are looking to open City Hall back up and other things in March 12th.
Last thing I was going to ask you about is I know Sherry Myers has I think she's kind of become the outsider lone voice, although she has been that for a long time, but now on city council. But she's recently threatened to try to de-annex elements of her district, District 2. This would be a big, long process. Is this a realistic thing that could happen?
Personally, I do not think it's realistic in the sense if you've looked at what it takes. The second reason I don't think it's even there, the county doesn't even do, you know, as much as she can train about street lighting, even she in the last meeting admitted our street lighting is so much better than there's zero in the county. So, I mean, you know, response times, your insurance, I mean, there'd be a lot of things that everybody would have to look at and it would be an impact. Plus just the legality of it is very, very challenging to say the least. So I don't think it's something that's going to happen. I don't even think Sherry wants it to happen. I think Sherry uses political tactics and she's totally willing to burn everything down. And that doesn't build good trust, but we're continuing to work. I mean, I work with her all the time. I try to figure out what to do. I mean, it reminds me of my children. They, when they were little, they wanted to burn everything down. But it's just, you know, again, it doesn't establish a good way to work. And most adults eventually figure out how to work better ways to get what they need to do and work, you know, collaboratively. And I mean, I got 6 council members who are doing that. So I think that says a lot, and we're going to keep working on Sherry. We're not going to give up on her, but we're going to just keep working.
All right, very good. Mayor Grover Robinson, always a pleasure to talk to you. We look forward to talking to you again next week. Thank you so much for the time.
Thank you, Andrew. You take care. Glad to get you back on the radio.